I'm Amber.
And I'm Leslie, and you're listening to
The Grimmistics. Hi, friends.
Howdy, howdy. How's everybody doing?
Good, we hope.
Good, we hope. Amber, how are you?
I think I'm pretty good. I'm a little tired, not gonna lie.
I like how it's that you think you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, like, you know, if I sat down and thought about it, I'd be like, yeah, I'm good.
I'm good. That's good. That's good.
What about you, Lulu?
I'm also good.
Okay.
Yeah, doing good. Just not as manic as I was yesterday in real time.
Next episode.
I know we did things a little differently, so just be nice to us for next week. There may not be a transition. We may just jump in like,
yeah,
because we weren't planning on doing two episodes until the end, to go figure.
You know, I feel like when it's something that you're very passionate about and it's something that you're you do as much research as you did, like, they do turn into two.
Nah, I just am on my shit. I'm just a talker.
No. I think that, great for us because it's a podcast.
True.
But no, I just think that it's, the timing worked out really well. So this episode is going to come out right before Halloween. Originally, your goal was to just find something like the text spooky message. I have it. We could go to the receipts. You just said, well, it's going to be right before Halloween, so it needs to be something spooky. You said, what about this? And I didn't know what that was. And I just said, great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what you will find in the next episode is Leslie went down a very important history rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And the why this town ended up the way it did. And so this episode is going to be the spooky stuff. Mm-hmm. Next episode is going to be the historical atrocities.
And to be honest, it's still pretty fucking spooky. Like, yeah, when we were talking yesterday, I didn't do really research on like the ghost stories because like I was so tired by the end of it, because I was like, the story itself I feel like is horrific. Like, it's a horrifying story all in its own.
I think that everyone can really agree that there's a big difference between like history, like, oh my God, I can't believe this is like a fucking thing, and like, ooh, I like this spooky thing and I like to get, you know, spooked out. So like, I think that this is just what we need for October. And I want to apologize. I have three neighbors now that leave either have doggy doors or leave their dogs out. So it is like an orchestra out there. And I'm sure you guys can't really hear it with these expensive mics that we have. You shouldn't. But it is constant. So if I get a little distracted, it is because I am listening to the 101 Dalmatian dog call.
Oh no, hopefully the puppies aren't missing.
That's why I'm not annoyed when dogs go crazy like this, because I'm like, they might be doing their own police work.
Yeah, they're having a really important conversation right now.
Like, this is an Amber Alert happening right now.
In real time.
They just won't shut up.
No, I can't hear it. You're good.
So, yeah. So, there's that. But, Leslie, before we jump in, I was kind of thinking, you know, I know you did a little bit more research, but, like, how did you stumble upon this? We kind of touched on it in the episode that's going to be coming, but, like, how?
How? TikTok. In 2020, it was all over my TikTok, and it's kind of nice. I mean, this is good because this is our spooky episode, but and the narrative then really was like, it's a ghost town. There's an entire town underground that they just they didn't give anyone any warning. They just flooded the whole town that we're going to talk about. Okay, so we even said we're talking about Lake Lanier.
Yeah. Okay.
Hello.
Well, hello.
I did this last time too.
It's okay. Okay, because like, so you said let's do Lake Lanier, and I'm going to be honest, I was just a little medicated, which you guys will learn next episode.
You might as well tell now.
Yeah. Okay. And we can just
you're going to hear it again. Just be kind. Yeah. It's fine.
I have shingles. So I have multiple medications that I'm on. So in the next episode, how about this? I'll leave a teaser. I will give you the whole skinny on shingles and what it does, how it affects you, how sad life was. But so when you said Lake Lanier, I'm going to be honest, I was just like, cool, I've had a week of shingles medication and I was in bed from Thursday to Monday. I'm happy to say let's go for it. And you even said I'll do a little bit of research, and I'm sure that was being kind to me. And I was like, awesome. And it was something that I didn't know about. So I was like, cool, I will literally just get to sit here and learn. And another like little, you know, listen next week, like, guys,
there was so much learning.
I learned and it rocked my world, and I talked to Craig about it and I was just like, this is heavy. So I'm a little excited for a little bit more back into our roots, spooky instead of just like horrific, like you said.
No.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. All right. Two nights in a row.
I'm so sorry. Horrific. I know. Oh,
this was just supposed to be how, you know what? This feel like not desperate enough to like be sad, but like the Scream episode all over again. Like we just went into it wanting something a little spooky for Halloween, and then life got sad.
And then we got so much more than we bargained for. That obviously is like a thing for us.
That is clearly Halloween. We can never just find like a stereotypical like, oh wow, scary
this
story.
Is normal. Ooh, there's a spooky demon. Yeah,
like,
wouldn't that be so nice?
Yeah, nope, that's not our normal. Okay, so do you just want to jump in? Do you just want to go for it?
I would love to jump in. So talking about Lake Lanier, I said, which is a man-made lake. We talked about it last week in Georgia in Forsyth County, which is 2 hours from Atlanta. I looked up. I don't know if the county is 2 hours from Atlanta, but the town that we're going to be focusing on tonight, which is called Oscarville, was about 2 hours from Atlanta.
Okay.
And so this town was formed sometime in the 1800s upon the Reconstruction era, which we learned about our time, real time yesterday, your real time next week.
So we're just going to be leaving a bunch of cliffhangers. I hope that you guys are so excited.
Well, or maybe you, unlike Amber and I, knew this stuff, this stuff.
That is true.
Because the Reconstruction era is a very common term for the time after slavery was abolished and the attempt of giving former enslaved people a chance at life. I mean, that's what it was. So, I'm not going to even talk about anymore because we really dive in next week. So by 1912, which is the time that we are, that's where we're at this today, there were approximately 1,100 Black Americans thriving in this town. And I say Black Americans because it was primarily Black. I'm sure there maybe were some white people in town, but not many. And it was an agricultural town. I found 58 residents who owned land, 109 residents rented land for their farms, and it was noted that this town was especially known for raising poultry and being craftspeople and cotton hands. And so I wanted to talk about how many residents owned land, just because this is 1912. So not very long after slavery was abolished. And, you know, we learned how difficult it was for Black Americans to really retain land at all. So it's pretty impressive that, you know, in this small town, that many people were able to thrive. And there was like a drought. There was a, we'll talk about it. Atlanta really needs water. I mean, that's kind of why foreshadowing Lake Lanier is a thing. And so farming and agriculture in Georgia at this time is really bad. But for whatever reason, Oscarville is actually doing very well, and it's thriving, and people are successful, and there's churches and grocery stores, and just it's a town of humans who are just existing.
You might need to cut this, but like, holy crap, this was like, just because of what I know now, that's fucking horrible. That's so they were thriving and everyone got jealous. Okay, sorry, you will have to cut that, but
no, they do get jealous. I don't think we need to cut it, because they do. I mean, honestly, the white people in the area who were hatred, they were so hateful. Just truly, we're going to talk about, unfortunately, a lot of violence tonight that was afflicted on Black Americans. And it there's no other excuse besides it's just hateful. You're just being hateful to them.
Well, and I would like to say that with the little bit that I know and the little bit that we're going to know next week, like, it just goes to show what you put out there is what you get. So, like, these hateful, like, Americans who didn't want to have equality, couldn't grow crops and were struggling, and this town of Black Americans were facing that hatred and thriving. Wow.
It really, I think it shows you that, like you said, if you, if you're toxic, if you're toxic to every being in your life and you're spewing just toxins and bad energy and bad karma, then that's what you're going to receive. You're not going to thrive. You're not going to be able to grow and sustain yourself because you're just emanating garbage. You know, I mean, it just.
Wow. It's like a live action version of that. That's crazy.
Kinda. Yeah. And there were, there just was a lot of reported violence and probably unreported violence against, like I said, Black Americans in this time. There was the Atlanta race riot, which happened in 1906, so 6 years before 1912, which was 2 days of violence caused by white Southerners because of an article that was published in the paper that accused four it accused four white men had been raped by Black men. And of course, there was no evidence that backed this up, but that was the accusation. And so there was a riot that occurred outside of a courthouse while these men were being held and being questioned by police. Official reports allege that 25 Black Americans and two white Americans were died during the riot. However, it suggested that closer to 100 Black people were hung, shot, beaten, or stabbed to death during this riot.
Yeah, because that's easy to miscount. Like, 1, 2, 25, 100. Like, what?
I said it last week. Well, I said it'll be next week, yesterday. The call's coming from inside the house. So it's just, the violence didn't stop until the Georgia National Guard was called by the governor. And just what's so insane is that the majority of the articles in real time that were talking about this riot weren't happening in America. They weren't happening in Georgia. They were happening in other countries like France and Scotland and London and, you know, in Europe. They were talking about the violence inflicted by these white Americans against Black Americans, because slavery had been abolished prior.
So almost like what's happening now, where like the real story is what all of our friends around the country are getting, and we're getting a watered down, manipulated version.
Yeah. I think you meant our friends around the globe, right?
That are getting, yeah, not the country. Us. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
No, you're okay. Right. I mean, it's just the, we don't know what we're not told, and they're not going to tell us if they don't want to, you know, like, why? It's just like you said, why, how do you miss up how many people were actually murdered? Mm-hmm. It's because they don't mix up. They just don't want to tell
they
you.
They didn't want people to know. Yeah.
And unfortunately, by now it's been lost to time, and we'll never know. We'll never know unless someone's grandpa's grandpa told them. I mean, maybe, you know, but probably not. We'll never know.
Well, so then, okay, my question is, do you think that, okay, like my thought is that the number is wrong because they are concerned about riot, like not even rioting, but if I were an American of, if I were an African American person reading this in the paper, I'm going to be outraged by 25, but I'm going to be like seething at 100. So do you think it, like, the manipulation was done to try to not cause an even bigger uproar? Do you think that the manipulation was done just so they didn't look like racist assholes and they thought 25 was a better number? Like,
I feel like probably all the above. I feel like they didn't want to cause an issue because I mean, it's slavery, they're not supposed to be doing this. I just can't, you know, like, I, they're, this is not right. And so probably a little bit of all the above, and they don't maybe even care to identify these people that were murdered. And so
they don't. And then there's that, just not caring in general, and it's just, it is what it, oh my god, I'm furious now as a white girl, like almost 100 years later.
Over 100 years.
Over 100 years later. I can't imagine how furious the people of color, how the people of color feel constantly.
And just, it just help, it, it's like, helpless is the wrong word to use, but truly it's like, you, these decisions were made for you guys. And I mean, and us, I just, the decisions were made for everybody. And it's like,
Well, yeah, even the people who were supportive and wanted to be informed, like, they can't control what they don't know.
Absolutely. And it's like, I think we're seeing now this big shift with like the TikTok ban and things like that. We're seeing, they're realizing they can no longer control their narrative because there's too many of us, for one. And we all have cell phones, and we all have, you know, we can take pictures and videos, and you can't hide things anymore. And I think we're kind of seeing that in real time. So we're going to start seeing bans on TikTok, and we're going to start seeing, you know, controls through Meta and Instagram and Facebook, because if they can, they can control,
if they
the
can lie to us. Yeah.
Right. Then we're uneducated. We're unaware. We're just living just completely. We just don't even know. Anyway, I know I sound a little conspiracy these days, but I truly believe that it's our responsibility as humans to do our own, to not just listen to the information that we're fed offhand. To I think we should question, and we should want to know. And I just, because everything that I have learned in this podcast has not been what I thought. I mean, everything, aliens, Bigfoot, seances in the White House. I mean, literally everything that we've talked about. How many times have we been like, holy shit, my mind's blown. And like, this is like just different because it's infringing on human life.
Yeah, no, it's definitely very heavy.
So sorry about that. Sorry about that little tangent. Back to the Atlanta riot. So, right, no one was reporting about it in America. But it also was not even in the curriculum for public schools in Georgia. until 2007, which was 100 years after the massacre, and they like it was a they made a big deal out of it. Like,
look what we're putting into the textbooks. We're such good people.
Well, and I think the Black Americans in Georgia also rallied for it too. Like, mm-hmm. we need to. This is a huge part of our history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you 100%. Imagine? Like, you know, we didn't learn about it in Colorado, but people in Georgia didn't even know about this,
including people who, you know, they could track their family lineage. Like, it's just been generations of family members living in Georgia. Like, they yep. deserve that information to be out there.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. The Georgia District Attorney in 1907, so a year after the riot, it was obviously not a woman. They weren't the district attorney at the time of the riot, but they wrote that the lynch law, so-called, has been in the main administered by men of at least comparative prominence in their several communities. Men who at least believed they were establishing order and so discharging a public duty. The Atlanta riot was wholly wanting in responsible leadership, was lawlessness, pure and simple, with no redeeming motive, and sprang from unmitigated race hatred.
Okay, wait.
I know. Sorry. I wanted to finish because I saw you. Yes.
So, just to make sure I'm understanding right, because, again, I'm on pain medication, yes. So there's a lynch law that says, if it's going to get everyone to calm the fuck down, go ahead and lynch someone.
Well, it's like, they called it the lynch law. And it was these men that were taking action in their own communities, and they were lynching Black Americans because they felt that they were
causing
vigilantes. Yeah, they felt they were doing Spider-Man. Justice.
Got it.
And in 1907, the district attorney said that was fine because that was redeeming. But they said that this riot
didn't fall under that.
Yeah, they said that even the riot was so bad that it wasn't, it's not even like it's above.
You didn't calm people down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I am uncomfortable.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, I'm uncomfortable that there was a law saying, yes, lynch someone to restore order and do your vigilante shit. But then it's like, okay, well, that's a horrible law, but at least you acknowledge that this didn't fall under that, because it sounds like what it is a law to give the good old boys a scapegoat to lynch people, as long as it looked like it was done in the best intention, which is disgusting that sentence came out of my mouth.
Yeah, no, I think you nailed the head, hit the hail on the whatever that I can never say that term.
hit the hail on the head.
You hit the shit out of that thing. That's our history. That's the history of our country.
Okay. That's wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking sucks. Okay.
mm-hmm. So that was 1906. 1912, which again is the year that we're focusing on now, mm-hmm. there was a shootout that resulted in the death of a sheriff in Plainsville, Georgia, which is just right, you know, they're all connected. These are all just mm-hmm. little suburbs of Atlanta. There was a dispute between a young boy who was Black and a young white girl who had some altercation in a peach orchard. I wasn't able to figure out what happened, but it was mm-hmm. suggested that it wasn't a big deal. They were just children being children.
Yeah.
And parents got involved, and the girl's parents threatened dad. The mm-hmm. girl's dad threatened to lynch the little boy's father.
Oh.
And so it caused this huge shootout, and the county sheriff was shot.
Did they say by, like, was it ever reported by who?
Not that I saw. I couldn't even find, I wanted to find the sheriff's name, and I couldn't even find their name. Wow. But I found this report of a shootout in multiple sources. So, and those are just the two, like, most documented, the heaviest violence. But, like, imagine what wasn't documented. Imagine what was happening that we don't know about. Like,
that the police either didn't know about or they turned a blind eye to. Yeah. Like, this is, yeah.
And, you know, the explorers will hear next week, but just the Amber and I know that the overall vibe of the area, I mean,
not
just
great.
Not fucking great. Yeah. It's not. I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all. That's now we're in Oscarville, Georgia in 1912. And yeah, it's not fucking awesome if you're a Black American. It seems like.
Well, and like, just to paint a picture too, like with what you started at the beginning, just to paint the picture that's in my head, I guess I should say. So I'm imagining like some dust bowl, and I know it's not the dust bowl, but like it's my brain and it's going to imagine what it wants to, but like some dust bowl kind of shit where like tumbleweeds are going. I'm tired of this grandpa is playing on a continuous loop. And like, there is just nothing growing. There's no water. There's no nothing. Like, it is just a sad, pokey little looking thing. And then down the hill, you just see this like sub neighborhood just thriving. And they've got, you know, crops, and there's, you can hear laughter, and like, you can hear, you know, non-white people jokes that are actually funny, and you can smell spiced food
chicken.
Like, yeah, like chicken isn't bland, and they're just like,
a wonderful time.
Yeah, it sounds like and it's like when Dorothy goes to Oz and it's in color all of a sudden.
Yes.
And they've got color changing horses, and like, I can only imagine the jealousy and the hatred, because the hatred was already there. I doubt the jealousy, unfortunately, like, not unfortunately, but I just mean, like, I doubt it was even, like, acknowledged of jealousy at the time before this town was established. But, like, I can only imagine the hatred is there because it's just this volatile time that you've described between white Americans and Black Americans. And then they just see these people who are thriving. And like, next week, I know we keep saying next week, guys, but like, next week, you're also going to learn like why there was more hostility between these people. Like, it wasn't just like neighbor hostility. It was so much bigger than that. And like,
generational hatred.
Yeah. Generational hatred. And I just can't imagine it ending well. Like, there's nothing that I don't think anyone, and I don't even know what's happening. I just have a gut feeling that whatever is about to happen, no one really, I would be surprised if anyone could stop it with how much hatred and jealousy was just omitting off of the white people in this area.
Mm-hmm. No, you're exactly right, because it's, just remember, the call is coming from inside the house.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I keep saying that, but like, it's not just your Joe Schmoes that are hateful. It's your police officers that are hateful. It's your county sheriffs that are hateful. It's your judges. It's the people who are making laws and deciding who can be a functioning member of society that are hateful. So, September 5th, 1912, a 22-year-old woman named Ellen Grice alleges that a Black man had assaulted her. Ellen was a well-known woman in Oscarville because her husband was a successful and wealthy farmer in the area. One of the few. And because of Ellen's accusations, the sheriff's office in Forsyth County arrested 5 Black men that they thought were connected to the case. Which is interesting that it goes from, I slept with one man.
One blend, you two, 5.
Yeah. The men arrested were Tony Howell. That was the main suspect. Johnny Bates, Fate Chester, Isaiah Pike, and Joe Rogers were his alleged accomplices. Grant Smith, who was a local preacher, appealed to the county sheriff that there really was not enough evidence at all to hold these five men, and even suggested that Ellen was having an affair with Tony. And
I'm impressed. All right, preacher.
Well, and
oh, okay.
No. We can be impressed with him. Okay. He's a good man. Sorry. So he suggested that Ellen was having an affair because Ellen basically said that her mother caught her in bed with this man, and she was like, "Oh, I woke up and he was sexually assaulting me." That was literally what she said. So, she was probably sleeping with Tony. There was a literal defense called the threadbare lie, which was known to be used by white women who were caught in relationships with black men. So
how shitty to, like, whether you think you're in love or not, you at least, like, think that the person you're fucking likes you enough to fuck you. And then, like, when push comes to shove, they're like, "Oh, here's your death sentence."
Yeah, like, literally, and that's, it is a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I also find it just very interesting. Well, like, a lot of the violence was because, like, it was all in the name of women. It was, oh, they raped our women, which I just find hilarious, because obviously don't give a fuck about women now, Georgia. It's like, if you don't care about women now with the laws that you're doing, why do you, you're not caring. You don't give a shit about them then. They're just property to you. So I find it, as a woman, just hysterical that you guys have decided, and I say you guys, that those men have decided to literally murder people in the name of their women. So
really, it just gave them an out to murder. Like, that's all it is. Like, they just wanted to murder black people, and this was the easiest way to do that. So yeah, of course they're gonna stand by their woman. And
well,
it was just to fulfill, like, this hatred and fulfill what black hearts can really do.
And I think it's funny, or not funny, just, I mean, these women obviously were having really, obviously enough to have relationships with these black men. Like, I'm just curious. I don't know. It just plays a picture, and it paints the role of hatred and jealousy I keep saying men. We literally know these were white men. We know these were white men.
Mm-hmm.
So it just is frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so when Preacher Smith accused Ellen of actually sleeping with Tony, obviously the white community was furious, and they mobbed the courthouse. They surrounded Preacher Smith on the steps. They proceeded to beat him and horsewhip him, which I had to look up. It's literally just whipping him with a horsewhip.
Horsewhips are, like, long, aren't they? Like, they're horrible.
I can't imagine it was great. And I can't imagine anybody helped him. While he did sustain life-threatening injuries, he did not die from the attack.
God. Oh, I'm so stressed. Okay.
I know. And that's all that we hear about Preacher Smith. I don't blame him for...
I would disappear very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit. So 8 days later, after all this happens, on September 13th, 19-year-old May Crow, who was a white woman, was found unresponsive. Big trigger warning. She was beaten. She was naked. She was hidden under a pile of leaves in the woods outside of Oscarville. May had been sexually assaulted, and her skull was fractured after being hit with a rock.
Oh, my God.
She remained in a coma for 2 weeks after being found, but eventually did succumb to her injuries. While searching the scene, investigators discovered a small pocket mirror that they decided or somehow connected to a 16-year-old boy named Ernest Knox, who was living. He didn't even live in Oscarville. He lived in a nearby town. Ernest was arrested that day and taken to the courthouse in Forsyth County, where he was subject to mock lynching. Now, I had to look up what mock lynching was. This was a tactic that police did that involved putting a rope around a black suspect's neck and tightening it until they confessed to whatever crime they were being accused of.
Oh, so torture. Cool.
Yeah. Literally. Wow.
And so, of course you're going to confess because you want to not be choked anymore.
Ernest is 16 years old.
Yeah.
He's a fucking child.
Well, we've seen 16-year-olds who are not being choked commit confess, thank you, that they to crimes that they did not end up didn't have evidence showing that these kids actually committed stuff. Like, that's everywhere.
Brendan Dassey. So, I mean, making a murder, and, right? Like, yeah.
Yep. And then you add in, like, choking.
Yeah.
And I like that they call it mock lynching when, no, it's, like, literally just suffocating someone.
Yeah, you're hanging him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, there's, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, obviously, he did. He confessed to May's rape and murder. I'm not sure if he did. I don't know. I honestly, I didn't even really go down the rabbit hole, but I do know that they find him guilty. I mean, I don't know if that's who actually did this. So we'll never know who actually did these terrible things to a 19-year-old girl, which is another issue all in itself. So a mob of white residents had formed the courthouse, and it was so bad that Ernest had to be covertly transported and detained at a completely different jail so that he would not be lynched in the streets by the mob. The four other accomplices that Ernest had mentioned were Oscar Daniel, who was 18 years old and Ernest's cousin. Jane Daniel, 22, who was Oscar's sister. Rob Edwards, who was known as Big Rob, who was 24 and was Jane's husband. Mm-hmm. And a man named Ed Collins, who was 27 and was their neighbor.
Mm.
On September 10th, approximately 2,000 white vigilantes formed outside the courthouse, holding the alleged accomplices, and gained access to the jail somehow. They beat Big Rob with crowbars, hung a noose around his neck, and fatally shot him. His body was then taken out of the courthouse and to the town square where it hung from a telephone pole.
Oh my God.
Oscar and Ernest were found guilty of the rape and murder of May in separate trials, but on the same day by the same judge, who was also later known to lead a mob against a man named Leo Frank in 1915. Mm-hmm. Who that was a whole other fucking, again, just another act of violence that I chose not to go down that rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, that's a judge that was found to be leading a mob later, just, you know, just 3 years later in 1915. Anyway, so both Oscar and Ernest were sentenced to hanging, despite it being illegal and outlawed in Georgia at the time. They were sentenced to hang. And he said because because it's outlawed, that the sheriff would need to build a 15-foot fence around the gallows so that no one could watch. But that was the sentence. The night before the execution, arsonists burned down the fence, but magically left the gallows untouched.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, the two were hung on October 25th, the next day. It is estimated that the executions drew a large crowd of over 8,000 spectators.
Oh my God.
And that a piece of the rope was kept in a book at the courthouse up until 1987 when it finally went missing.
Thank you to the person. Okay, wait. Yeah, there are two scenarios. Thank you to the person who was like, we don't need to fucking keep this. Or like, you're super gross if someone like stole it as like a prize. So let's hope it's the other.
When I read the articles in my head, I was telling myself that it was, they decided they didn't want this to be.
Yeah.
Yes. They didn't want this to be in the courthouse. Like, this is, it was outlawed and they murdered these two boys
with the rope. Like, it, they're, and like, you guys know how Leslie and I stand, and like,
yeah,
their skin touched that rope. Their blood touched that rope. Like, they,
a traumatic, a very traumatic event.
Yeah. Thank you. And with that rope. And like to think that that energy is not still existing is insane.
Yeah, no, that's not. So, that leads us to a group of vigilantes called the Night Riders, who were white guys. They were all white men. And starting the day of May's funeral, they began attacking black communities in Forsyth County on horseback. They inflicted property damage, bodily injury, in an attempt to, this is not the word that I used, this is literally in the word that's on Forsyth County's like website.
Mm-hmm.
The intention was to expunge the black communities in the county. There were rumors that a black insurrection, quote unquote, was causing a sea of rapes. And because of that, they needed to clear out the communities.
It's so crazy. Like, I just keep thinking about what we're like, what you said before, but you're totally right. They're just using this scenario to act like we got to protect our women, but like, don't let them vote. And like, yeah, if you don't have my dinner on the table, like I get to backhand you. Like, what the fuck?
And even in today's society, like they're trying mm-hmm. to outlaw women's healthcare. Like they don't care about women. It's a joke. Mm-hmm. You're just using this to project your hatred and violence. And
give you a reason.
Yeah.
To a reason, do this.
Quote mm-hmm. unquote.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So just some fun facts. In 1912, black Americans took up 10% of the population in Forsyth County. As of yesterday, literally yesterday, the population is 3.96.
I mean, I get it. I wouldn't want to be there either. I wouldn't want, like, the history. What's unfortunate is that, and I'm not, I don't know anyone in this county. I don't know, you know.
I do.
Oh.
My aunt lives there.
Oh. Well, I'm.
Isn't that funny?
That's really random. I'm not saying that everybody in this county is, you know,
racist
or coming from that heritage of racism. But like, it's pretty crazy that if it were me, I wouldn't go back to the place where this was happening. Like, you wanted it to be whitewashed. Like, okay.
Right. Well, I mean, these people had farms, like, and I think, you know, the whole intention of the Reconstruction era was to allow these people to set up generational roots.
Mm-hmm.
And when these communities are being run out, there's no, they're leaving with nothing, but they're leaving because they're literally, they're terrified for their lives. They're leaving mm-hmm. for the sake of their family. So they're leaving, you know, flourishing farms. They're leaving things that they've invested money and time, things mm-hmm. that's their lives, that's how they make money, that's whatever, their homes, but they're leaving because they're scared for their lives. So now they have to go somewhere to another you know, community with, and they have to start with nothing, and they're living in poverty, and mm-hmm. and what happens when people live in poverty? There's crimes, there's violence, mm-hmm. like we literally know this. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, this is when they say this is generational racism. Mm-hmm. This is literally what this is. Mm-hmm. And I learned this yesterday, and yeah. I said it yesterday in it for next week's episode. This was my white privilege that I just didn't have to think about it. I knew about, obviously, that slavery was abolished, but I didn't have to think about, and I had heard these terms like generational racism and institutional racism, but until, unfortunately, yesterday, it just didn't compute in my little white girl mm-hmm. brain.
I think like it's the way I was kind of thinking about it since yesterday is we had all the corner pieces put together, but we didn't have the center of the puzzle. And like this research that you're doing, like, is helping both of us see how the picture more clearly. And it's just, it's horrible. And, you know, I was kind of thinking too, just because we did talk about it yesterday and we've had a little bit of time to think about it. You know, I was trying to think of another culture that has had such a long standing like atrocity. And like the first thing that came to my mind was like the Germans. And like the Holocaust and everything that happened there. And mm-hmm. the main difference is the German people do not try to hide what happened. They learn from it. They refurbished monuments to Jewish people that would have been in their communities. They have made a point to make sure every single child that goes through their public school system, not their private, their public school system, they have made sure that every child knows why Hitler was able to do what he did. And they are learning from it. And we haven't had issues. We have not had issues with Germany.
Right. Well, in America isn't learning.
No.
What are we doing? What did they do in Georgia?
We're rewriting our history.
Right. They put up statues of the people who inflicted violence. They mm-hmm. carved mountains. They carved sacred mountains from indigenous people. I laugh again because I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
from indigenous people and put, again, a bunch of white guys. This happened in Georgia as well as, I'm not talking about Mount Rushmore. There's, mm-hmm. I think it's called like Smoky Mountain. Right. They didn't learn from their mistakes. They just
not learning.
Look what, yeah, they, in fact, it's almost like they flaunted it. They were like, they're mm-hmm. proud of what they did and they're just shoving it in our faces. And mm-hmm. people like us just are unaware. I don't think we're blissfully ignorantly unaware, not in a bad way. We didn't have this. This wasn't taught to us. This wasn't mm-mm. given to us.
No. And you're completely right. It is our privilege. And I know a lot of white people have a hard time acknowledging their privilege, but we do have it.
Yeah,
privilege, and
these two episodes are proof. White privilege,
yeah, and it's proof, this is something too. Like we get to talk about this, and we get to talk about the history and how horrible it is, and we're gonna take from it and learn from it, and we hope that our explorers do too. But like the privilege is, we get to learn this information, and we get to learn to be better allies. But we still get to walk down the street and know that we will most likely not be harmed or arrested by someone in power because of the color of our skin.
Mm-hmm.
Or not even someone in power necessarily. I think of specific scenarios that I've heard of in the news, but we won't be treated poorly. Like
we won't be discriminated against because of the color of our skin.
Mm-hmm. The color of our skin. We'll be discriminated against because of, you know,
between our legs.
Our gender.
Because of what we're wearing, right?
Yeah, yeah. But like, we have the luxury still and the privilege still to acknowledge that our skin doesn't become a factor. And there are many, many African-American women out there who are experiencing both gender and skin profiling. And I don't understand personally why it is so hard for people to acknowledge privilege.
I think they miss the fact because they were like, well, what about my grief? Like, what about my issues? Like, my life isn't easy. And it's like, no, but I don't know. I don't know the answer to your question. And I think it's because neither of us.
We don't cover it up. Yeah, we don't cover it up. Yeah, like, hey, you guys, the explorers, you've been with us for 3 years. I feel like you guys know our struggles and our triumphs and all of that. And that doesn't lessen what we've been through, just to acknowledge that there's someone out there that's been through worse. And most people out there who have been through worse, unfortunately, are subjected to that worse because of the color of their skin, something they can't control.
Mm-hmm.
So, I appreciate, I mean, we're not done yet, but I just want to say appreciate that you have done all this research, because my goal is to be the best ally that I can possibly be. And this is helping me be that. So thank you. Just in advance for giving us this moment.
Thank you for allowing me to ramble.
Of course.
To spew. And, you know, it's like this, it's always kind of nerve-wracking when we get a little political in the podcast, but yeah. I think both of us feel like this is something we don't, we stand by what we believe in, and we mm-hmm. stand by what we say. Say what mm-hmm. you mean what you say. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, shit, this election and this period coming up has literally given me shingles. Like, we sat down, my therapist and I sat down and said, what am I stressed about? And it's the election, like 100%. So like, if I'm going to have shingles on my face, then I'm going to say what the fuck I want about how I feel about this election. And it's stressful. As someone with a vagina and ovaries, I am very uncomfortable with the two paths that we have in front of us. I'm very uncomfortable knowing that I have a daughter. And one path, like, we've talked about this before, but one path looks like from 21 Jump Street. We haven't used this scenario for talking about the election, but in 21 Jump Street, one path looks like Channing Tatum's fabulous trip, and the other one looks like
Jonah Hill kind of sucks, which is really disappointing. But
well, and that's great. That's great that he's in the negative path, because it literally. I know. I'm sorry. But like, I feel like those are the two paths that we're going to have in front of us. And I just, we can't sit here and tell you who to vote for. That goes against what America stands for, right? Like, you vote the way that you want to. I would hate for someone to persuade me, but you have a mother, you have a friend. You might have a spouse, you might have a daughter, you might have a granddaughter. Like, the choices that you make in this upcoming election, which is fast approaching, is going to affect their lives for a very long time. Leslie, you had a number, and I think it's important if we can remember it. How many years will we be affected if these changes are made?
I think it was projected at least like 100. Was it maybe like 112, like some random shit like that? But mm-hmm. Policies that will be put into place potentially won't be lifted in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds dramatic, but there is that small fear that this could potentially be the last election that
we
are able to vote in. And that yeah. And you may, as a listener, I hope you're not sitting there thinking, oh my God, that's so dramatic, but that's a real fear that I, mm-hmm. that Amber, many women have right yeah. now.
That we've been sitting with for the entire year. Two years.
Really, since 2016. I mean, well,
it's been slowly growing, yeah.
You know, when he put his judges in Supreme Court, I mean, like mm-hmm. that, you know, he did. That was step one.
Yeah.
You got to put the people, I laugh again because I'm uncomfortable. You got to put the people that will do your bidding in power. That was step mm-hmm. one. And so it's like, I mean, it's just, it's shitty. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. We're not talking about that.
That's okay. But just thank you for enlightening yes. us and educating us so that we can continue to not be part of the masses that are just ignoring our nation's history, because it is important to look back. So we know that this place is gonna, you know, so we're talking about the horrors. So what's next?
So just Oscarville in general, the last thing, mm-hmm. As I mentioned, more than half of the Black population just disintegrated in that mm-hmm. county, and it was mentioned that it just was noted that eventually property deeds that once belonged to the Black people ended up in their white neighbors' hands. There were no bill of sales, no proof of mm-hmm. you know, transfer, just happened to be that way. Mm-hmm. So that's Oscarville, and that was, and again, this all took place really in 1912, but I don't know how long it took for the population to dwindle, but I can't imagine it was very long.
No, not at all. Riots every other day. I'm sure people were getting the fuck out of Dodge.
Exactly. I would. I mean, mm-hmm. you have to for your family.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, pieces of the land were sold to the government by eminent domain, which is a little fun fact. I don't know if anyone knows what that is. It's when the government, it's a law that says that they can come in and basically buy any property. It doesn't matter if it's your house or not, if they say that they're doing it for the good of a community, and they can legally do that. Oh. Even if you don't want to sell, even if you say, no, I'm not going to sell. Like Buc-ee's, that's why Buc-ee's is there. It was bought through eminent domain, even though the farmer did not want to buy or did not want to sell.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
Yeah. So in 1947, the Industrial Bureau and the Chamber of Commerce decided that they needed to build the Buford Dam, which would pool water into Forsyth County and specifically Atlanta, because again, there's this huge drought. And the dam would create Lake Lanier. So they purchased, quote unquote, purchased 56,000 acres of private land that became basically the lake. And so the big rumors, you know, in 2020 that I saw on TikTok were that this whole town was just completely overrun. You know, they flooded it. They got rid of all these black people. Realistically, I can't imagine there were many black people living in these town
homes. Okay.
At this point, by 1947, I just can't imagine.
Okay.
And if, you know, and they bought this through eminent domain. So while people, I don't, you know, maybe they took them out kicking and screaming, but I just realistically, they probably were white people that owned quote unquote property by this time. Just from everything we've learned tonight and yesterday, I personally don't believe there probably were that many black people still living in the area.
Okay.
yeah. And then it just really sucks too, because it's like, these white people, you know, they terrorized the black people and ran them out, took their land for free, basically. And then they were paid for it by the government.
Oh, so domain. Yeah. So when it was time to do this lake, oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. So that's Lake Lanier. It was named after a Confederate musician and a poet who wrote Song of the Chattahoochee. Chattahoochee. I don't know it. That sucks. Of course he was a Confederate soldier. That's kind of goes back to what we were just saying about Germany. Like, rather than embracing that we fucked up, we're just gonna pretend like it didn't even happen.
Could you imagine too, just in that mindset, if Germany had a statue of like
Hitler?
Not even Hitler, like one of Hitler's soldiers. Like, you know, because a lot of these Confederate guys, they weren't like the main Confederate guy. They were like generals and stuff. So what if Germany had a statue of a general that was like, yep, I like that Hitler guy. He's speaking the truth. Like, did that give you the ick? Does that make you uncomfortable? And then thinking about the statues in the South, if that didn't give you the same ick and the same discomfort, like that's the problem.
That's the problem. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Because those soldiers and those generals were fighting because they wanted to continue to keep a type of skin tone on a person enslaved. Like, it's the same ick, no matter what.
No matter what. Yeah, same ick.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many towns, actually that were abandoned due to the attacks in 1912, not just Oscarville, you know, the names have been lost to history from what I can find. We don't know what they were. I mean, even where Ernest lived, he didn't live in Oscarville. So the lake just makes up of all of this land that probably just has imminent violence on. I just can't, you know. And so it's alleged that there are buildings and towns basically still under the pond under the lake. And they said you can see several foundations of homes. There's an entire speedway. This is actually true. That's intact under the lake, that they literally left everything intact and just flooded it. There is a forest that has 60-foot trees. Which is kind of eerie as fuck.
That That'd be crazy to go scuba diving and see. Whoa. I mean, you guys know me, no water. Like, so it won't be me, but if someone wants to go scuba diving and take some videos, I'll freak out on land.
Well, the lake is cursed, obviously.
Yeah. Oh.
Clearly. I mean, that's what, Spooky Lake Month, right? That's it's cursed. That's where that girl on TikTok, right? So, and they also say that you can see chicken coops as like, they say, depending on how the drought is, and if the lake gets really low, you can see more and more things, basically.
That's so creepy.
Yeah. I'm struggling to find images as of, I didn't look today, but as of yesterday, I was having a hard time finding what I feel like I could for sure could confirm were structures of the lake. Okay. But I mean, this is pretty well known. So I've got to believe that you can see some stuff. And so, like I said, it's a cursed lake. Since its construction in 1956, it's estimated that over 700 deaths have occurred in the lake. Some have drowned. There have been boat fires. Some have driven into the river or driven into the lake, excuse me, or just have simply gone missing. And, you know, you mentioned scuba diving in the forest. It's actually really dangerous because they're so tall and it's so thick. That's why when you go missing, it's a lot of the bodies aren't recovered because they just simply can't maneuver through the lake.
Whoa, that's crazy. Okay, so explorers, don't do that. My bad. I don't want our explorers to get hurt, one, but two, I also don't want to be liable because this is just like a lawyer's happy playground if they hear me say, go do it.
Go find it.
Don't do it.
I mean, it's an open lake. It's used for a lot of recreational stuff now, which is disgusting. Mm-hmm. There's lots of boats and boating things there. I know we're reaching that hour mark real quick. The most infamous deaths there were two women, Delilah or maybe Delia, I'm not sure, May Parker Young, and Susie Roberts in 1958 fell off a bridge while crossing the lake and disappeared.
How do you fall off a bridge?
I think they drove off the bridge.
Okay, I understand. I was imagining them walking and I was like, like trip and fall?
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, they were driving. They drove off the bridge.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they did end up finding the car. People say that they can see one of the urban legends is that there's a lady of the lake and they think it's, I'm trying to think, it was one of them. They think it's Susie. Because she's wearing like a blue dress.
Oh.
And so did, it's Delia. Delia, whatever. Oh, and because she's appearing as a lost handless woman in a blue dress. And she wanders the bridge at night.
Handless? Like no hands?
No hands. Look, Ma, no hands.
I bet she really enjoyed. We're back in the head again. Could you imagine? Like you're haunting this bridge, you're walking back and forth and it's the early mid 2000s and everyone is bumping and I said, look, Ma, no hands. She and probably like, was like, hell yeah, that's my anthem.
I feel so valid. It's my anthem, girl. It's my
yeah, and then
anthem.
She probably was like, I need to get in these Honda Civics with these girls. And not that Leslie and I drove Honda Civics. And then in high school.
Listen to the song.
And then they probably got in the car. And she probably got in the car and then like freaked everyone out. That's probably why that legend got wind.
Probably, for sure. I can see it.
Thank you.
Kyle Glover, who is the son of Tamika Foster, who was Usher's ex-girlfriend or something like that.
Usher.
Also died while inner tubing in 2012 at the lake.
In this lake. Oh my God.
Yeah, so there have been just lots of deaths. Like I said, the really big hauntings are the Lady in Lake, which we said was Delilah. Mm-hmm. And people who have said that when they're like swimming and they have near-death experiences, they feel as if they're being pulled down into the... A lot of survivors say that they're being like pulled down into the water, that they can't get out. So yeah, it's definitely cursed. It's a no for me. I don't really do water. I don't mind lakes, but especially man-made lakes, mm-mm. because usually they're good, but now I'm questioning everything.
I'm going to just say, as someone who used to work at a lake, and I did not see any deaths in my time that I was aware of.
You were also at a cursed lake, though. Hmm? That lake is also cursed and haunted.
I know. We'll have to talk about that sometime, because mm-hmm. I didn't know, didn't experience a lot. I experienced a lot of weird shit, but it was just because of, like, the normal people that came to mm-hmm. visit, not the spirits. The spirits were well-behaved, apparently, because I didn't know about them. mm-hmm. But I just, there are so many bodies, like, and this one specifically, like, Leslie's given us a lot of reasons why bodies, like, might not be found. Mm-hmm. But that's, like, it's obviously a big deal in this one because they've got, like, 60-foot trees. But, like, that's also true in a lot of other lakes. Like, I just can't do it. I can't. There's so many. There are bugs and there are mm-hmm. bacteria. But, like, the number of people that aren't found in lakes is probably significantly high. I do not have research to back that up, but I would assume it's significantly high. So, like,
it is.
We're not supposed to eat, like, mold. Are we supposed to drink water that has decaying bodies in it? I'm going to say no. Like, and when you, as someone who doesn't swim, couldn't really tell you, but I assume that when you swim, sometimes you get water in your mouth, mm-hmm. Whether you mean to drink for it sure. or not. Yeah. So pee is the last of our worries in these things. It is the decaying bodies.
Well, and just think about, we've talked about how natural elements hold on to trauma. That land mm-hmm. had so much trauma and so much violence, even before what was happening in 1912. Like, think about the indigenous people that probably were on that land mm-hmm. prior, you know, like mm-hmm. it just, so yeah, that fucking shit. And I mean, Savannah is, like, Georgia mm-hmm. is one of the, you know, most haunted places in America.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you know that. Oh, yeah. I'm going in February because my cousin, who is a listener, hello, Ashley, is getting married.
And, oh, congratulations.
And so I think we're going to road trip and just also include spooky things on our way.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to have, when you come back, you're going to just have to tell us all the stories. I'm so excited. We'll just have a Leslie, like, story time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We'll just see what she gets into. But I didn't know that. Is it just mm-hmm. because, like, there's been a lot of war and, like,
yeah. stuff? Mm.
Okay.
And, yeah, I don't know why, but they do say it's the most, like, Savannah itself is the most haunted city in America.
Well, I told you guys, that I was thinking about rewatching Vampire Diaries, and that's actually based in the South.
Mm-hmm. Aren't they in New Orleans, though? Mm-mm. New Orleans.
Oh. No, I really think let me double check before I spew, but it actually feels like maybe like a Georgia. Let's see when.
Oh, I'm thinking of like Klaus. They're the ones that are in New Orleans.
Oh, okay, yeah, because they are not.
I said that word three different ways because I've heard it so many different ways. I don't know the right way to say it.
The fictional town of Mystic Falls from the Vampire Diaries is located in Covington, Georgia.
How? Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, they were going for the Georgia feel, too. So probably someone who I would assume anything that's like supernatural, witchy, like any sort of movie or show. And it's in Georgia. I wonder if the people like writing it maybe know that it's a very haunted place. So you mm-hmm. maybe you can ask. I know your cousin will be busy getting married, so she might not be able to sit down and tell you all of her spooky experiences, but maybe like there will be someone that you can talk to that can kind of fill you in on some spooky stuff too.
All right, Ashley, you heard your homework. She's never mentioned anything to me, so I don't know if she, and I feel like she would, but maybe someone at the wedding.
Yeah, maybe she's got a friend that she could recommend you talk to. And we're asking you pretty far in advance to your wedding. So like, I feel like I'm being polite right now by saying, please make sure Leslie sits next to someone who has some person. Spooky stories. Yeah, if that could be included in your seating chart, I, as someone who doesn't know you, would really appreciate it.
Well, and we may have a shot because her fiance is also like into Harry Potter and all the, okay. you know, okay. so maybe okay. we've got a shot here. Okay. Now we're just rambling and it's far too late and happy Halloween. What a fucking episode. Holy shit. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Thank you. And it's a two-parter if you haven't caught on yet, guys. us saying next week, if that didn't register, it's a two-parter. So... we definitely dive a little bit more and honestly a teaser and a haha because Leslie and I got to do this back to back. The next episode makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Like it makes so much sense that, all of these things happen the way they did. Leslie does a really big deep dive into the history of this area. It might feel like she did a deep dive now, but she did a deep dive.
Yeah. I feel like this is nothing compared to yesterday. So
exactly. So definitely something to think about. We hope that you guys are enjoying your spooky season. Happy Halloween. in the comments below, we haven't done one of these for you guys to ignore in forever. Tell us what you're going to going. I know, maybe they're like, all right, now she's just being an asshole. but tell us what you're going to be for Halloween.
Yeah,
I would love to know. I love costumes. If you guys want to share costumes on our socials, like please. I love seeing costumes. Everyone is so creative. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh my God, I just love looking at it. So please
tag us
in your pictures. Tell us what you're going to be. Leslie, any plans on being something?
No, Robbie's working and Roxy is still living. And so we don't participate in Halloween. so I'm just going to probably watch scary movies and, you know, hang out at my house in the dark and probably garden and just live my best life.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. All right. What about you?
So after much deliberation and Rav literally said no to everything for 3 days, I finally got out of her a mouse.
How cute.
Yep. So Craig and I are going to be the three blind mice.
Oh my God, that's perfect. That's going to be so adorable. I love that.
So I will make sure. I am totally okay. I'll share a picture. But I will just show you the little stuff that we end up doing. So
yeah, please.
Either way, it'll be the three blind mice or the three mice if my daughter does not want to wear sunglasses at night. That might not be your jam. But yeah, we're definitely excited because this is the first time she's able to trick or treat because last year she had hand, foot, and mouth disease, which is very contagious. So we stayed home. We did do trick or treating and she cried every time someone left because she didn't understand. And then the year before she was more potato. Yeah. So she didn't know what was happening. We get to experience trick-or-treating for the first time.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Well, so have fun.
Thank you. We have been practicing too. So she's going to be a pro by the time this airs.
I love that so much. Be safe and eat all of her good candy.
I know. That's the plan. So enjoy your spooky season. Enjoy Halloween. And please tag us in all the cute stuff.
Absolutely. And on that note, we will literally spook the shit out of you next week. Bye.